This is Reverend Joseph Caesar again, one more time, coming to you from BBS Radio, bringing you the good news, the best news, news that's fitable for the air, news that's fitable to be printed. Every man's good news. I pray that this good news would be your guiding light today. And so, Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we humbly come to thee to ask you, Lord, to use me as your voice, as your conduit, and let your word go forth. In your precious name, I ask. Amen. Today is a good day. Any day above the earth is a good day. I want to talk to you today from Psalms 51, a psalm of David when the prophet Nathan came to him after David had committed adultery with Bathsheba. David calls for mercy is the only appropriate request for a confessing sinner. David says, "Have mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing love, according to your great compassion. Blot out my transgressions. Wash me. And wash all my iniquity. And cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions and my sin is always before me. Against you, you only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight. So you are right in your verdict and justified when you judge. Surely I was sinful at birth, sinful from the time my mother conceived me. Yet you desired faithfulness in the womb. You taught me wisdom in that secret place. Cleanse me with hyssop, and I will be clean. Wash me, and I will be whiter than snow. Let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones you have crushed rejoice. Hide your face from my sin, and blot out all my iniquity. Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me from your presence, or take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. Then I will teach transgressors your ways, so that sinners will turn back to you. Deliver me from the guilt of bloodshed, O God, you who are God, my Savior, and my tongue will sing of your righteousness. Open my lips, Lord, and my mouth will declare your praise. You do not delight in sacrifice, or I would bring it. You do not take pleasure in burnt offerings. My sacrifice, O God, is a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. You, God, will not despise. May it please you to prosper Zion, to build up the walls of Jerusalem. Then you will delight in the sacrifices of the righteous, in burnt offerings offered whole. Then bulls will be offered to your altar. The psalmist prays for mercy, humbly confessing and lamenting his sin. He pleads for pardon, that he may promote the glory of God and the conversion of sinners. God is always pleased with a contrite heart, a prosperity of Zion. So David, being convinced of his sin, poured out his soul to God in prayer for mercy and grace. Whether should backsliding children return but to the Lord their God, who alone can heal them? He drew up by divine teaching an account of the working of his heart toward God. So those that truly repent of their sin will not be ashamed to own their repentance. Also, he instructs others what to do and what to say. David had not only done much, but suffered much in the cause of God. Yet, he flees to God's infinite mercy and depends upon that alone for pardon and peace. He begs the pardon of sin. The blood of Christ sprinkled upon the conscience blots out the transgression, and having reconciled us to God, reconciles us to ourselves. So the believer longs to have the whole debt of their sins blotted out and every stain cleansed. He would be thoroughly washed from all his sins. But the hypocrite always has some secret reserve, that's for sure. And would have some favorite lust spared. David had such a deep sense of his sin that he was continually thinking of it with sorrow and shame. His sin was committed against God, whose truth he denied by willful sin. With him, we deal deceitfully and the truly penitent will ever trace back the streams of actual sin to the fountain of original depravity. He confesses his original corruption. This is that foolishness which is bound in the heart of a child, that proneness to evil, and that backwardness to good, which is the burden of the regenerate and the ruin of the unregenerate. He is encouraged in his repentance to hope that God will graciously accept him. Thou desirest truth in the inward path. To this, God looks in a returning sinner. Where there is truth, God will give wisdom to those who sincerely endeavor to do their duty shall be taught their duty, but they will expect good only from divine grace, overcoming a corrupt nature. David says, purge me with hyssop, Lord, with the blood of Christ applied to my soul by a lively faith, as the water of purification was sprinkled with a bunch of hyssop. The blood of Jesus Christ is called the blood of sprinkling. And so we see in Hebrews 12:24, if this blood of Christ, which cleanses from all sin, cleanses us from our sin, then we shall be clean indeed. In Hebrews 10:2, he asked not to be comforted till he is first cleansed. If sin, the bitter root of sorrow, be taken away, he can pray in faith. Let me have a well-grounded peace of their creating, so that the bones broken by convictions may rejoice, may be comforted. David also says, hide thy face from my sin. Blot out all my iniquities out of the book. Blot them out as a cloud is blotted out and dispelled by the beams of the sun. And the believer desires renewal to holiness as much as the joy of salvation. So David now saw more than ever what an unclean heart he had, and sadly lamented. But he sees it not in his own power to amend it. And therefore he begs God would create in him a clean heart. And when the sinner feels this change is necessary and reads the promise of God to that purpose, he begins to ask it. He knew he had by his sin grieved the Holy Spirit and provoked him to withdraw. This he dreads more than anything. He prays that divine comfort may be restored to him. When we give ourselves cause to doubt our interest in salvation, how can we expect the joy of it? This had made him weep. David prays, I am ready to fall either into sin or into despair. Therefore, uphold me with thy spirit, I plead. Thy spirit is a free spirit, a free agent. walking freely. And the more cheerful we are in our duty, the more constant we shall be to it. What is this but the liberty wherewith Christ makes his people free, which is contrasted with the yoke of bondage, which is Galatians 5:1. One of my favorite scripture verse. It is the spirit of adoption spoken to the heart. Those to whom God is the God of salvation, he will deliver from guilt. For the salvation, he is the God of a salvation from sin. We may therefore plead with him, Lord, thou art the God of my salvation. Therefore, deliver me from the dominion of sin. And when the lips are open, what shall they speak but the praises of God and for his forgiveness? Those who are thoroughly convinced of their misery and danger by sin would spare no cost to obtain the remission of it. But as they cannot make satisfaction for sin, so God cannot take away satisfaction in them, otherwise than on expressing love and duty to him. David cried for mercy. He says, mercy and forgiveness are God's gifts to the confessing sinner. And even when the Lord forgives, he does not tarnish his just character. Confessing are covered by the sacrifice of his perfect Son on the cross. He said, your loving kindness expresses God's loyal or covenantal love to his people. And the amount of agony that David suffered because of his guilt are expressed in the striking words, my sin is always before me. Against you, David cried out, how I have sinned against Bathsheba. Guilt. He suffered with guilt. David, with a broken heart, the broken heart is acceptable to God only through Jesus Christ. There is no true repentance without faith in him. Man despises that which is broken. But God will not, for sure not, he will not overlook it either. He will not refuse or reject it. Though it makes God no satisfaction for the wrong done to him by sin, those who have been spiritual trouble. Yes, those who have been in spiritual trouble know how to pity and pray for others afflicted in like manner. David was fully afraid lest his sin should bring judgment upon the city and kingdom. No personal fears or trouble of conscience can make the soul which has received grace careless about the interest of the church of God. And let this be the continued joy of all the redeemed. Let it be that they have redeemed through the blood of Christ the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of grace. David says, have mercy on me, O God. His sin was very troubling to him. This is the utterance of a full heart, a heart crushed and broken by the consciousness of sin. The psalmist had been made to see his great guilt, and his first act is to cry out for mercy. There is no attempt to excuse his sin. He made no attempt or to apologize for it. There is no effort to vindicate his conduct. There is no complaint of the righteousness of that holy law which condemned him. It was guilt that was before his mind. Guilt only. Deep and dreadful guilt. The appeal properly expresses the state of a mind that is overwhelmed at the remembrance of crime. And that comes with earnestness to God to plead for pardon. And so the only hope of a sinner when crushed but the consciousness of sin is the mercy of God. And the plea for that mercy will be urged in the most honest and impassioned language that the mind can employ. According to thy loving kindness, on the meaning of the word used here. And we can even see Psalms 36 verse 7. The ground of his hope was the compassion of God. The measure of that hope was his boundless beneficence. Or in other words, he felt that there was need of all the compassion of a God. His sin was so great. His offense was so aggravated that David could have no hope but in a being of infinite compassion. And he felt that the need of mercy, in his case, could be measured and covered only by that infinite compassion. According unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, he says. And then the same idea occurs here also. The psalmist fixed his eyes on the vastness of the divine mercy, on the numberless acts of that mercy towards the guilty. Here he found his hope, and here alone. Every instance of extraordinary mercy which had occurred in the world furnished him now with an argument in his appeal to God. Was an encouragement to him in that appeal, was a ground of hope that his appeal would not be rejected. And so to us, every instance in which a great sinner has been forgiven is evidence that we may be forgiven also, and is an encouragement to us to come to God for pardon. When David cried out, blot out my transgression, in an allusion to an account that is kept our change made when such an account is wiped away, erased, or blotted out. Never was a more earnest appeal made by a sinner than that which is made of David in this verse. Never was there a more sincere cry for mercy. It shows us where we should begin in our prayers when we are pressed down with the consciousness of sin, with a cry for mercy and not an appeal to justice. So it shows us what is to be the ground and the measure of our hope. The mere compassion of an infinitely benevolent God. It shows us the place which we must take and the argument in which we must rely. A place among sinners and an argument that God has been merciful to great sinners and that therefore we may be merciful, that he may be merciful to us. He keep on crying out, have mercy upon me, O God. Without mercy, I am totally, finally ruined and undone. He's ready to give up, ready to throw up his arms. He says, according to thy loving kindness. This is what David is saying, according to thy loving kindness. Mark the gradation in the sense of these three words. Have mercy on me. Thy loving kindness, thy tender mercies, used here to express the divine compassion, the propriety of the order in which they are placed, deserves particular observation. Have mercy upon me. Thy loving kindness, thy tender mercies. So therefore, the first render, have mercy or pity, denotes that kind of affection which is expressed by mourning over an object we love and pity. That natural affection and tenderness which even the brute creation shows to their young by the several noises they respectively make over them. And the second, rendered loving kindness, it denotes a strong proneness, a ready, large and liberal disposition to goodness and compassion, powerfully promoting to all instances of kindness and bounty, flowing as freely as waters from a perpetual fountain. This denotes a higher degree of goodness than the former. And the third, render tender mercy. This also denotes what the Greeks call the spagnoleski, that most tender pity, which we signify by the moving heart and bowel, which argues the highest degree of compassion of which nature is susceptible. Blot out my transgression. Blot them out, please. There is a reference here to an indictment. The psalmist knows what it contains. He pleads guilty, but begs that the writing may be defaced, that a proper fluid may be applied to the parchment to discharge the ink, that no record of it may ever appear against him. And this only, the mercy loving kind and tender compassion of the Lord can do. Have mercy upon me, O God. David, under a sense of sin, does not run away from God, but applies unto him and calls himself at his feet and upon his mercy, which shows the view he had of his miserable condition. May God bless you, bless his word. I pray that you bless this evening. I leave here now with the blood of Jesus upon your life. God bless you. And as I pray for the radio station, Brother Doug and his brother, for God to bless them in Jesus' holy name. Amen. God bless you.